So welcome to today's episode of Beyond the Deal. We are thrilled to have Tina Call, who is just an absolute powerhouse real estate agent. She's founder of the Call Group Residential with eXp Realty. Just to list some of the many accomplishments of Tina so everybody gets to know her a little bit. She's the number one resale team leader in Raleigh, a top 1% real estate agent nationwide. She's closed up to 880 transactions in a single year, which is beyond impressive. But more so, just in my desire to have her on the podcast, she's a licensed facilitator with Working Genius, a mentor to over 1,200 real estate agents through her Access eXp network and mastermind. She shared the stages with Tony Robbins and Grant Cardone. And she just brings an unparalleled level of, you know, expertise and inspiration. So we're thrilled to have her on, not only on this podcast right now, but she's going to be joining us up in Boston for our event on September 18th, the Realign Experience. And so certainly wherever you're watching this, we'll post some links so that you can sign up to the event and come and see her speak, which is going to be truly inspirational. So Tina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's so uncomfortable to sit through all of that.
Yeah, well, I had to cut it down because you've got quite the list of accolades and experience behind you. But yeah, super thrilled to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So to start, I was wondering if you could just share a little bit. I know you started as a real estate agent in Michigan, and then after a few years, you moved down to Raleigh, North Carolina, and eventually built the number one team. Just wondering if you could give us a little bit of history on that and sort of what led to those decisions.
Yeah. So I was born in Michigan, and you know, I've started real estate when I was 23. So for those first 7 years, I always say I was an average agent, meaning I leaned off whatever the agents in my office were doing. And I did that. And, you know, I sold, you know, 20, 30 homes a year, which was a great living. 2006 market crashed and it started to, you know, really get hard because the homes I was selling for $150,000 were selling for $60,000 on short sale. So I became a short sale queen. I'm like, this is awful. I was actually going to leave the business and go into interior design. And thank God I met Mike Ferry and, you know, I met Jeff Glover and just different people that were succeeding with that training. I took that training and that first meeting, I remember with my coach, they said, well, if you could live anywhere, where would you want to live? And I was like, not in Michigan. And so we literally devised a plan to move within 12 months. And we did. And the reason we felt we could is because I knew how to pick up the phone at that point to call an expired, to call a for sale by owner. And I knew how to take control of my business. So before my business looked like this, which is most real estate agents. And since Mike Ferry in 2008, when I signed up, it's looked like this. It's never gone backwards. Actually, I take that back. The last year it went backwards from the 880 transactions to 720. But we also, you know, shrunk the team a little bit and that affected it. But nonetheless, we ended up here in North Carolina for the past 15 years. And the first 4 years, I went from, I think, 30 deals a year to 130. And by 2014, the wheels were falling off and I said, I need help. I hired my first buyer's agent and I realized, oh my God, leverage. This is amazing. She's taking all the buyers. And I was the leader that was like, Laura came to me one day and said, are we going to ever have a meeting? And I'm like, a meeting? Why would we have a meeting? It's just me and you and a couple staffers. And so I didn't understand how to lead. I really didn't. I fell into it. I'm still, you know, figuring it out, 10 years later. But, you know, just moving forward with purpose of helping people and getting better every day. So here we are now, 3 years out of production. It's wonderful. I've learned how to operationalize my business, learning leadership and leverage, which will be what we're talking about in Boston when I see you. My two favorite L's, actually, I should say leads, leadership, and leverage, because we need leads to run the business. But yeah, and so here we are today and lots of mistakes later, but we're still just humming along.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had a similar experience with Mike back in 2014 when I started coaching with him. I went from 18 to 42 transactions the first year that I hired him. And I was fortunate to get the wonderful Kathy Anderson, in case you know Kathy.
Yeah. Oh, she was my coach for 3 years. I love her.
Yeah. I had her for 5, which I feel very fortunate about, until she left the industry or she retired.
Yeah.
So, very similar. Cause as soon as I started plugged into that and saw what was possible, I'm actually surprised to hear you say that, it took you that long to hire people, the buyer's agent, cause Mike and his team must've been beating you over the head with it for a couple of years before you did it. But, well, that's great. So, as you mentioned, you did 880 deals back in, was it 22, 23, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
So obviously with that sort of volume, you've got to have like systems and strategies in place to scale your team. But what sort of stuff have you put in place to not only scale the team, but to like keep the focus and maintain that high level of customer service for your clients? Because I think that's what a lot of agents, you can scale things, but then all of a sudden, you know, the quality of the product that you're delivering to your clients starts to go down as you get bigger. How have you, like, what have you done to sort of mitigate that issue?
Well, you know, I always think back to Kathy when she used to say, Tina, it'll be easier to sell 100 homes than it is to sell 30 when you have the right people around you. And I think that was it. It was finding the right people and trusting them enough to give the task away and say, you know, where is my highest and best use? You know, as a solo agent, obviously you're in the trenches every day and you're putting on different hats. You know, when I first got into in every day, I was an ISA. I was calling, I was an inside sales associate. Then I took that hat off and I became admin to do my admin work. Then I took that hat off. And, you know, I went on listing appointments. Then I took that hat off and I actually put signs and lockboxes in when I needed to. And I became a field manager. And then I took that hat off and I went on inspections. So it's like we come in, we get our real estate license, and they never teach us how to run a business that runs without us. They just teach us how to be a technician, servicing and counseling. But that's why 85-90% of agents fail, because they first don't know how to be the ISA and make calls and grow their business. They then don't know how to operationalize a business because a lot of them don't have that skill or want and desire. And they just find themselves in this roller coaster. I hope my friends and family use me. I hope I get a deal today. Hope is running their business, and that's not going to run their business. And so what I did early on with Mike, obviously we have our 24-step system at Mike Ferry, and we've got time management, lead management, and every little bucket is broken down to a system and a process. And so I believe agents are pretty good at systems. They have a system for listing, a system for buyers, a system for, their marketing. And I think they're pretty good at technology. And we use technology every day. We're using it now. Those are the three leverage pillars. The third pillar, which is what I'll talk about in Boston, is people. They don't know how to leverage people because A, they're too scared to hire an employee and more employees, because then, oh my God, if I hire two employees and I have to pay them, that means I have to show up and do something that's income producing every day. And if I don't know where the business is coming from every day, then how am I going to support these people on a regular basis? So I think it's people leverage. That's really what I learned to do well, is if I died tomorrow, and I know that's morbid, but we're all going to die. If I die tomorrow, will my businesses today go on without me? And the answer is yes. Call Group will survive without me. EXP, organization survives without me. The other businesses, courses, and everything we sell, they're all, evergreen. They will survive without me. So how can a real estate agent's business survive without them? That's what they have to think about. How do I keep removing myself from the puzzle?
And I remember Kathy saying to me back in the day about hiring people, she said that hiring people is not an expense. The expense is not hiring them.
Exactly.
Right.
100%.
Was that hard for you to do at the beginning? Like, are you one of those people, like, I have a hard time giving up control? Was that hard or difficult for you at first to do that?
It has been hard every year of my career since I started, until, I would say until about 3 years ago, I had my wake up call where I'm like, this is great. Like, they don't really need me. And now that I know that I just need to hire people smarter at the role that they're doing, and not have the ego that's involved. Like, I'm the be all, you know, end all and know it all, of the business. I think we hold on to it because it's our baby, and who knows it better than us, who's going to care about it more than us. But the reality is people are employed for a reason. And if they believe in the mission and the values, you know, you're going to, I think about when we do our quarterly planning with my leadership team, there was a moment where I was crying because I was watching all of them be good stewards of the business, and they were worried about the cash flow and the this and that. And I just stood back and it was a surreal moment going, these five people are taking care of my business that I built. And they're taking care of it as if it were their own. Like, why do they care if we save another $1,000 a month? Well, because they're taking ownership. So it's a beautiful thing when you surround yourself with people that care, and people that are smart, and it's cool. It's just so fun.
Yeah, it really is. I've experienced that over the years too. And it takes a while for you to understand and to be able to let go and, you know, trust your people. And it's a whole process to become from that technician to that leadership role.
Yeah.
It is a whole process. It's not something that you just, in my experience, and it sounds like in yours, that all of a sudden you just go, oh, I'm a team leader. And now you inherently know what to do and how to do it. Agreed. It's like, you're going to stumble along the way. You're going to hire the wrong people. You're going to act incorrectly. You're going to sort of hold on to things that you're comfortable doing.
Yeah.
But it is a worthwhile process when you finally get to that point. And I've had surreal moments like that too, where I just sit back and look at the people that I'm surrounded by and go, this is a really fun use of my life, and the years that I have. And, that's sort of the underlying reason we all do this, is to have those experience of that connection with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I talk about like the six P's, you know, there's like a triangle that I talk about, and it's, you know, when you first start, you're practicing a skill, you're a new agent or whatever, you've been in the business a few years, patience, you know, you have to go through patience in the business and going, is this my life? Like, I remember when I was cold calling, I'm like, is this my life? Is this what I'm doing every day? You have to have patience. Then you get into power mode where you're like, wow, I know what I'm doing and I'm moving forward. Then you get into passion. My God, I'm so passionate about the business. And finally at the sixth level, where I am at now, it's purpose. What is my purpose? Because I don't need money to live anymore. I've got things running. How do I give back? And so you go through the six P's, you know, we call them. And so I think everyone's at a different level of their business. And right now I'm at that top where I feel, you know, I've done it and I'm still learning and growing, but I have my time back and I can do it for the passions that I care about now.
And I think that's what I've seen with folks that have become financially free and independent over the years, people that have enough money that they don't need to go out and grind every day just to pay their living expenses. Mm-hmm. I found that the vast majority of those people, what they're truly selfish for is like impact on others.
Yeah.
And if you can get to that point, that's sort of the driving factor for me right now, is to get to the point where I can spend my life energy trying to have an impact on other human beings, whether that be on a small scale with my team and my family, or on a larger scale with EXP and sort of the network of agents that we can create here at this organization. I think it's truly special. And that, I mean, you exemplify that, and we can see it not only with, you know, what you do on a day-to-day basis, but even like meeting you in person, you can sort of feel that energy from you. And the first time that we met, I certainly did too. So, so speaking of that, your philosophy of collaboration over competition is sort of the core of your Access Mastermind group and what you do at EXP. How do you foster collaboration amongst agents? I mean, it's such a competitive business and everybody's sort of charging because, you know, that's what they have to do to make money. How do you foster that collaboration amongst the agents, and how have you seen that benefit like not only your team individually, but the group of 1,200 agents that have or more that have partnered with you at eXp?
So I think in the beginning, Ben, you know, it's such a good question because, as you know, even in the Mike Fair environment, it's like, you know, put your blinders on and do your deals. And, you know, there were even times where I remember certain masterminds wouldn't allow two people from the same area in the mastermind because, God forbid, we learned a script or did something that somebody else could steal from us. And when you think about that mentality, it's so small thinking. It is so small thinking. And it's coming from a place of fear and scarcity. Even though we felt abundant, it wasn't. And so when I saw that the more I gave and gave to others, the more abundant I became in within myself, and the more agents I helped, I all of a sudden started to explode in my business. So when we moved over to this company, it was funny because people weren't trusting. They're like, wait, you're going to teach us for free? You know, why are you teaching us? And then, you know, they thought, oh, she's just going to recruit me, which my whole mission was, you're going to come to my office for Freedom Fridays, and I'm going to teach you how to be financially free and learn how to sell real estate. We never talked about recruitment. We never talked about our firm. We were firm agnostic. And what would start to happen is when you start pouring in value to people over and over and over again, and you don't ask for something in return, trust builds. And then when that trust builds, they're like, okay, this is a safe environment. And then they start coming to you saying, I want to be part of this mission. And so they start rewiring their mind to saying, oh my God, look at this abundance. And what I tell people all the time is my duty, my purpose is to take the information that I've learned, because I'm a nerd and I love to study stuff and research and, you know, and get better. My job is to take what I've learned from Mike Ferry or from Tony Robbins or from these greats that learned from somebody else. And they passed it on to me. They gave me the gift of knowledge. Now I paid for that knowledge, but my gift is to take the knowledge in my brain and gift it to others. And their job is to take that knowledge and to gift it to others. And when we continue doing that, it grows. And so collaboration over competition, funny enough, in my area here in Raleigh, when I joined eXp, we were brokerage number 80. Now we're number one. We have 1,400 agents. We've crushed the competition as far as production and agent count. And of the top 10 agents in the triangle here in my area, there are four or five that are here with me, like literally under me. So we were competitors before, but today we're collaborators. We go to each other's offices. Our operations teams collaborate with each other. They literally have masterminds. We're miles apart. Yep. And we're showing each other what we do to service the customer. Why? Because we believe out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of transactions, if we dominate the majority of them together, we're going to win together. So we're inviting people into that mission. Whereas a scarcity mindset person would say, well, why would you help me? Why would you give me your secrets? It's not secrets. It's hard work. First of all, there's no secrets. Yep. We all know what each other does. It's who is going to execute better and faster and more consistently. And that's right. It. So it does work. And we've proven that.
Yeah. And I think that's what's wonderful about what Glenn has created here is I was same as you. You know, I spent $300,000 on coaching and training over the course of 10 years, just learning and soaking in all the skills. And what I tell people is that they're welcome to do that too. But because of the platform that's available, whether it be eXp or any of the other sort of organizations that are similar to ours, I think what it does is it allows you to get that without having to hire a coach specifically and spend the money on it. You have access to it. And with folks like you, and certainly what we preach in our area too, where we're firm agnostic, and I love that term, but they can come and collaborate. And that's what we learned too, is that we're not selling our organization. We're just providing value over time. And if people see that value and feel like a partnership is in their best interest or will benefit them, then terrific, you know, but for the time being, just, you know, this is sort of fulfilling what I want to do inherently with impact on other human beings. But I think that it creates that culture and that organization that's hard to find unless you have this sort of organization present.
And if you think about it, I'm sure you've read the book, Think and Grow Rich.
Yep.
Number two in the you know, in the book is basically mastermind. You know, when you look at all of the wealthiest people and the people that have created so many cool things, they have mastermind with each, they were masterminding with each other. And back in the day, obviously they didn't have, you know, Zoom and telephones. And so they would get together and they would download their brains with each other based on what research they've done. And it's so important. It's like, we can do this now with each other at a grand scale. And we meet every week. We have our mastermind still. And to me, when I look, think of this, there are 15,000 people collectively in our groups, you know, that we collaborate with. Of the 15,000 people that are there, 400 show up every week for a mastermind. 400 yeah. people. Where yeah. is everyone else is always what mm-hmm. I say. And you know who the people are that are on the mastermind? The most successful ones. Yep. So we have time. Where's everyone else?
Yep.
So
it is. It is always crazy because yeah. we host a mastermind event too, and our organization yeah. is much smaller. Yeah. But it's like we'll have two or three people, and yeah. you know, I do some coaching as well, and you know, individual one-on-one coaching is expensive, yeah. and you can get that virtually for free by just showing up to these events where you said there's 30 or 40 people. You can get so much value from this. Yeah. You just have to participate. You have to show up.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So. Agreed.
So I know that you've spoken alongside like some amazing speakers, Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone. Is there any singular piece of advice that you could give agents right now to like sort of stand out? Obviously, we're in a very competitive market. I don't think the competition is quite like the top end competition isn't abundant, but there's still so much competition out there. If you're a real estate agent listening to this right now, is there sort of one or two pieces of advice that you can tell them to stand out?
Well, I think they have to think of like, what is their purpose and mission and who's their avatar? And so, yes, today, you know, you go to Instagram, it's like walking down the bread aisle. Like, you know, it's the same flavor, different packaging. How do you stand out is tough. And I think it's consistency. And I think it's platform. You know, for me, I think YouTube is the best platform to stand out right now because it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of consistency, but you've got the best search ability possible. So if I could do it all over again, I would start a YouTube channel and I would dominate my town with YouTube. I have seen agents in my town who hardly sold any homes, and they just took off on YouTube, like their sale. I watched their sales. So I think that's my favorite platform to stand out. If they're looking for buyers and sellers, even agent attraction, if you own a brokerage and you're a broker owner, you have a small team. If you have a small team and you want to build a business and operationalize it, you have to recruit. Like you have to recruit if you're a team owner. And so how are you going to recruit? You have to show people what it's like to work for you before they work for you, meaning mm-hmm. you have to get your butt on camera. And so it's to be able to stand out right now, you have to be on social media. You have to do video. You have to edit it appropriately and you have to be consistent. And then you have to figure out, again, what is your lead flow? You know, how are you getting these leads, people to register and sign up, and how are you getting their email? So just like when we used to make our cold calls, you wanted to get the customer's email so you can drip on them. Same thing with real estate agents. If I'm a team leader, a broker owner, I need to get emails so I can send them something of value on a consistent basis. So I think standing out is pretty easy if you're consistent, but most people are not consistent.
And I think the barrier to entry with social media is only growing, right? They say that, you know, today there'll be more posts on social media than there was ever in the history of social media. And tomorrow will be the same thing. It's only growing. Yeah. And the cost, whether it's time that you take to do it or whether it's money, hiring companies and that sort of thing, is only going to grow. So the sooner that you get into it and the sooner that you accept that this is going to be a major part of business going forward, the better off you're going to be. So that's amazing. Your team is known for like sort of aggressive marketing, securing multiple offers quickly. When you look at your marketing tactics or your negotiation strategies, can you share any specifics as far as what you're doing from a marketing standpoint to stand out from the competition right now?
So I think, you know, from marketing, I wouldn't say that we're doing something so specific as or so, you know, earth shattering. The biggest thing that our agents are doing is they practice, they role play. We're always in, you know, negotiation role plays. they're just really good stewards of their business. They're really, really professional. And so we've created, you know, this, I guess, you know, reputation that if you do a deal with Call Group, it's going to get done. You're going to have ease. They've operationalized the business. And so I think a lot of times the negotiation strategy is just like, hey, it's going to be really easy to work with us. And we're not a fly-by-night agent. We're not doing two deals a year. And the other agent on the other side knows if we work with them, everything's going to go off as planned, you know, and yep. It's not going to be hard because, you know, sometimes you work with an agent, you're like, man, that agent's tough to work with, yeah. Or they don't have the support, or they're never calling me back, or I never can get a contract signed with them. So I think it's that. I think it's just the level of excellence. We expect excellence from the agents. I'm that way. Like, I'm always toughest on myself and mm-hmm. tough on them. And so I think you start to bring people around you that also believe that same thing. And then they execute really, really well. So they're students. They're constantly learning and growing.
Yeah. I mean, it's the confidence, I think you're building confidence, not only in the agent and in themselves, but you're exactly. also building confidence with the community as far as what you do and the other agents in what they see in your group. So they know, like you said, when you accept our offer on the buy side, or if you're presenting an offer, you can go that much more confidently with the price and the terms and all that kind of stuff, because you know it's going to get done correctly yeah. and yeah. efficiently.
Yeah. And we do, you know, we do our four events every year. We have, you know, lots of giveaways. We gave away a Louis Vuitton, you know, wallet for Mother's Day. And we had a bunch of people register for that locally and in town. So all the stuff that you see people doing. But I think at the end of the day, the excellence and the proof is in the results that we get when we list and sell properties.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I wanted to touch really quickly, because I think one of the exciting things about having you come up to our event in September, we don't have a ton in New England. We don't have a ton of like large real estate groups or teams within this local. So we don't have a whole lot of, you know, powerful agents that do 400, 500, 600 transactions, mm-hmm. but more so we don't have a lot of like really powerful women up here. I mean, there is, don't get me wrong, sure. But not doing a group like yours. So as a top female agent and influencer real estate agent, what do you think? What challenges do you think you faced as a woman in real estate? How have you, overcome those to, you know, hopefully inspire other agents?
I think, you know, I think was finding my voice. You know, it feels like a male dominant, you know, world when you're in, you know, having operations conversations or talking business. You know, I think of myself, 23 years old, and you know, my first brokers were male. I never wanted to raise my hand, even though I had an idea. I never wanted to raise my hand and say something. I didn't want to feel stupid. And I think it was just finding my voice, because I remember sitting back in, you know, at conferences or in groups, and it seemed like it was always the men kind of leading the charge and talking and whatever, or building the mastermind groups. And so I think men are more, you know, prone to have that business mind where they're interested in it because that's what they're supposed to do. And then women have been conditioned, well, they're the nurturers. So of course they're having babies and taking care of the household for generations. My mom sat home and took care of children. You know, that's just what her job was. And my dad was the man, and he did what he was supposed to do and bring home the bacon. So when you think about that, there is an intimidation factor, but what I would sit in the meetings and think is, why are they doing that? Wait a minute, they could do this and make it better. And then you would see that happening and be like, well, I knew that, or I knew that. So it was constantly having to reassure myself that my voice matters. My brain is just as analytical as any other man. And so it's just what I was interested in was business. And that's why I was in tune to that. That's why I am a business person. That's why I got my real estate license. So men and women, a lot of us have very similar brains. There are alpha men and alpha women. There are supporter men, there are supporter women. And I think when you have a household, and I'm very geeky about this, I love to watch, you know, the dynamics in relationships, you know, between partners, really, not everyone is going to have that alpha mentality where they want to go out and work. So you might be a woman and have a partner that is a complete support role if it's a male, and they want to stay home and tend to the household. And if they're okay with that and their ego does not get, you know, hurt, then do it. And so I have a fantastic husband who's been, you know, was our supporter all these years in the beginning of our relationship. And then we got him out of the car business and he came more into a support role when we moved to North Carolina. So we flip-flopped, you know, he was the main bread earner and then I became that. And so, but we've been together since we were 16. So it's like, it just worked. So I think it's just as a female, finding your voice. And I think that could also be a male. I think people are just insecure. They want to feel confident. They don't want to look stupid and they'd rather keep it small. But the reality is everybody feels stupid. Everyone's full of shit at many times in their life, you know, sitting in those masterminds. I'm sure you've, Ben, had moments where you're like, oh, I don't want to say this. I don't want to look stupid. We all have that. So I think once we get out of our own way, male or female, it just is that your voice does matter and you do have important things to say. And even if they're not the right thing in the moment, who cares? Someone's just happy that you said something.
And I think what, because that's very much, I've always been very sort of conscious about what other people think and saying the wrong thing. And I haven't had a lot, like I faked it as far as confidence is concerned. Sure. But I think what was, so my mother has been in real estate and was with Mike Ferry for like 20 years. She's out of Connecticut. But she grew very similarly in a time where it was sort of male dominated, at least at the head of organizations and brokerages and stuff like that. But I found too, and if anybody's listening, what has worked for me, it's always been very hard if I am surrounded by people who are timid and not confident, I tend to cower into that. And what I've always found is that the, you know, surrounding myself with folks like Mike Ferry and Kathy Anderson and other, you know, great leaders in the real estate space and outside of the real estate space, if you surround yourself, if you're one of those timid people that's always like, well, should I say this? And, you know, I'm concerned about this, that, or the other thing. If you surround yourself with people that are just confident and not confident that they're going to be right all the time, but confident enough to speak what they think.
Yes.
And then accept the fact that if they're wrong, that's okay too. Hey, okay, this is what I believe to be true before. Prove me wrong. And if so, I'm open to it.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and I think that that rubs off on you. If you surround yourself with people like that, if you're a little bit more timid and shy and not as confident as you want to be, put yourself in situations where people are confident. And I think it'll rub off.
I agree. I mean, I think everyone goes through that phase of life. In your 20s, you're just trying to figure out who you are. You know, in your 30s, you're like, I think I know who I am, but I'm still very intimidated or maybe not as confident. In my 40s now, I mean, I'm going to be 47 in a couple of weeks. You know, I'm pushing 50. I don't really care anymore what everyone thinks. You know, I'm at that point, which is so freeing. And I tell my son, please start now. Start now at 20, not caring what people think, because it takes so much of your life. And I think we all walk out of our households with a mask on. Everybody does. You know, you don't act like you do at home with your spouse when you walk out the door, because, you know, at home, that's where our goofy selves are. And that's where we can be silly and be ourselves. But I think when you can do that in public and around your friends and family, more people are attracted to authenticity today than they are that perfect person. Because think about it. You see a perfect person, they walk in, their hair is perfect, their dress is perfect, they speak perfectly, and you hate that person. You go, God, they just got it all together. But that moment that person has a meltdown, something goes wrong in your life, you like that person. Oh my God, they're normal. They really, they don't have it all together. So I think perfection is overrated.
I think so too. And the mask portion of things, it's what comes up for me too, is always having advocates in your life that are going to be willing to sort of share the truth with you. Right? Yeah. The hard truths where friends and family are sometimes concerns about hurting your feelings and that sort of thing. But, you know, somebody that's going to challenge you. And so that again, just goes back to, you know, your whole idea of collaboration over competition, having, you know, mentors and coaches and, you know, just true leaders in your life that are going to be able to help shape sort of what you're seeing, because you have the mask on, but you're also seeing through that mask. And when you look in the mirror, you see that mask. 100%. And so you're not going to be conscious enough most times to be able to recognize it in the moment that it's happening. And so again, being around people is critical.
Yeah. And you said it perfectly. It's like getting people around you to also give you that feedback, because, you know, because you're Ben, you know, not a lot of your associates or clients or whatever want to come out and say, hey, Ben, you were acting really awful that day. You know, they don't want to mess it up, or especially if there's a hierarchy and you're the boss and, you know, they could be fired. Because I had to think about that. I'm like, I can't be fired. So I feel safe and secure in what I'm saying and what I'm doing and how I'm going about my business. But everyone else sort of, you know, might feel like they have to tiptoe if they say something to offend you. What? So you have to give people permission. Like I tell my leadership team, if you can't tell me I'm wrong, you are not the right person for this team. Yeah. If you can't stand up to me and say, with all due respect, this is going in the wrong direction. I need that. I have to trust the people around me that if I do something off kilter, I need to know about it because I may not be aware that I'm doing it.
Yeah. And that comes down to your confidence too, right? Like showing them that they should be confident to speak up and talk to you about things and that it'll only benefit them and the organization and you. So,
absolutely.
That's really awesome. So last question from me. So obviously we're experiencing a lot of turmoil in the real estate industry right now. Mm-hmm. What do you see as far as trends or tools going forward that you think are going to shape the future of real estate? And how should agents, you know, be prepared to really take advantage and succeed, stay ahead of the curve, you know, going forward in 2025 and beyond?
So I think, you know, for our team right now, everything we're looking at is how does AI touch this? How does AI affect our business? I think the baseline, I heard Leo, our CEO, say this, the baseline of everyone's emails, of everyone's correspondence, it's going to be perfection moving forward. Everyone's putting every response into AI right now. You can tell, you know, you can just tell by the dashes they use or whatever. You're like, that is such an AI response. So the baseline of the world is going to be perfection. But then when you show up, I think correspondence like this, like people having human interaction, human conversations, that's where you're going to be able to sniff out the frauds and the ones that are legit. And so I think they're going to have to learn how to use AI to really enhance their brain versus be their brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Right? So like I talk to my AI like it's my marketing partner, like it's my assistant. And I literally will use the voice app and people will be like, who are you talking to? I'm like, oh, I'm talking to Chad. You know, and so I'm downloading my brain. When I do a post on Facebook, I had a thought and I'm going to put it in here and then I'm going to organize it and yes, make it better. But I think it's learning how to use it. Your output of that is going to be as good as your inputs. And so everything can be faster and more efficient. And so we're looking at where does our staff right now, how are they not leveraging AI? So, hey, staffer, if you're not here in this role, how can you leverage yourself almost out of the business? But we still need you to operate. So we don't want people to be afraid of it like they're going to lose their job. We want them to use it to enhance their job because I'm a people-focused business first. I don't want AI. I don't want to deal with AI all day. I don't want to be with robots. I want to be with people that know how to leverage AI. So I would say learn it. Understand it, play with it, because it is the future.
Yeah. And I think what comes up when you talk about AI and leveraging it, it's almost the same thing that we did with our team, leveraging, you know, our team to do stuff. But then at the end of the day, you still have to step back if you've been freed up with all the time, because the baseline is going to be, like you said, perfection. So if you're an agent that's utilizing AI, but you're just taking the extra free time and you're doing what you want with it versus getting better at communication and having these conversations and doing all of the additional things to, like, you got free time now. What are you going to do to capitalize on that? Sure. What are you going to do to increase the experience of your customers, both face-to-face and in person and through platforms like this? So I think it's also utilizing the time that you're going to save because everybody's going to be at that baseline at some point.
Absolutely. And I think people right now, you know, you think about Instagram 12, 15 years ago, the people that were using it have all this following. If we actually spend our time learning about it, not just using it like on a very elementary level, because I think most people are right now, they're using it for emails and basic tasks. When you use it like to code websites, like I'm coding websites right now. That is insane to me. I want to learn to use it and play with it and go beyond what I ever could do, you know, in my mind. So I think it's lean into the education piece of it and don't snooze on it because we will be left behind.
Yeah, it's certainly super important. And even, you know, our conversation today, you know, the research behind sort of understanding a little bit more about you and like what questions would impact the audience the most. And yes, I could sit here and spend 6 to 8 hours doing it myself, or I could sort of utilize the technology that's there to guide me and then sort of summarize it and make sure that it's authentic to the way that that sort of is inherently me, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So, well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. We are like beyond excited to have you come up. I think it's just going to be incredible for all of the agents that join us at the event. So if you guys are listening to this and it's before September 18th, our event, the Realign Experience, we'll have a link pretty much everywhere that you go. But Tina's going to be joining us. The wonderful Aaron Novello from Southeast Florida is going to be up with us. And it's just going to be an incredible event. So thank you for spending the time with us today. And thank you for coming up in September in advance. And we'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait to see you.
All right. Thanks so much, Tina.
Yeah.